of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere. Take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
I don't know, is it on? Can you hear me from the speakers? Okay, good. All right. This is the second Sunday of Easter, first Sunday after Easter. I don't know what it's called. Here's an interesting one. It's also called Quasimodogenity, if you know your Latin. Well, I don't, so. But you've heard of Quasimodo, right? All right. It's a joyful day, really. And it is the realization of the resurrection reality. That's what this is about. That soon after Easter, they had to process this powerful moment that is the very foundation of what we believe. We begin our worship with our first hymn, "This is the Day the Lord Has Made," hymn 922.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuske will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from John 20, verses 19 to 31. Scripture, grace, and faith. The congregation will open the service with singing hymn 922. This is the day the Lord has made.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep.
We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God, now and forever. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, and peace to his people on earth, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, and peace to his people on earth, and peace to his people on earth.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and sacrament and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our lessons. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 5, selected verses there. It is the reaction of Jesus' enemies to the preaching of Jesus. You read. Many signs and wonders were done among the people through the hands of the apostles. With one mind, they all continued meeting in Solomon's colonnade. The high priest rose up along with his associates, that is the party of the Sadducees, because they were filled with envy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life." After they heard this, they entered the temple courts at daybreak and began to teach. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, that is, the whole council of elders of the people of Israel. Then they sent orders to the jail to have the apostles brought in. But when the officers arrived, they did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." When the captain, the temple guard, and the chief priest heard these words, they were puzzled about them, wondering what could have happened. Then someone came and reported to them, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple courts and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought the apostles in without force, because they were afraid that the people might stone them. After they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin. The high priest asked them, "Did we not give you strict orders not to teach in his name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to the right hand as ruler and savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our psalm for today. It's Psalm 150b. It's in your Psalter on page 811 if you'd like to follow there. Otherwise, it's on the screen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the Our second lesson, in keeping with the theme of resurrection reality, reminds us that this resurrection has effects to the future and to eternity. We read from Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood, and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father, to him be glory and the power forever. Amen. Look. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the nations of the earth will mourn because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is coming, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingship and patient endurance in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony about Jesus. I was in spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me like a trumpet saying, write what you see on a scroll and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like a son of man. He was clothed with a robe that reached to his feet, and around his chest he wore a gold sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool and like snow. His eyes were like blazing flames. His feet were like polished bronze being refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. He held the seven stars in his right hand. A sharp two-edged sword was coming out of his mouth. His face was shining as the sun shines in all its brightness. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I also hold the keys of death and hell. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise, and we'll speak together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Hallelujah. Our gospel lesson continues from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Last week, we read the first 18 verses of John 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. But Thomas, one of the 12, the one who called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our song of the day, O Sons and Daughters of the King, hymn 456. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Dear people who know the resurrected Christ Jesus, I want to put you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes on that evening of the first day of the week. We've contemplated it last week, and we're looking at it again. It's just really interesting to see how Jesus showed up in the midst of them with his miracles and said, "Peace be with you." By the authority of his life-giving person, he wants us to have peace. And yet, what were they going through? They were afraid of the Jews, those who were trying to get rid of them. We read about that in Acts today. The one that they had followed for 3 years, who did miracles, who raised others from the dead, had died. And they didn't remember the promise that they should have, that he would rise from the dead. No, it was pretty difficult for them. They weren't really able to celebrate the Passover with the rest, although they had celebrated part of it. They had to take a dead body to the grave. They were unclean. And then Jesus shows up. Now, this is all written for us. And we know what it's about. It's about God's grace, isn't it? And yet, we believe it. That line that was said to Thomas, to doubting Thomas, is so important for us. Let me just read it from our text today. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." On the other hand, we also got to give props to these disciples. This was the first time that they're going through the idea that there is a resurrection from the dead. How many of you have seen somebody rise from the dead? We haven't. And yet we believe it. Because we have the witnesses necessary. Because we have this resurrection reality as ours, written down for us. God's grace constant in our lives, and faith holding us up because it clings to Jesus. Let's take a look at this message one more time, and especially how Thomas reacted, because in a way, that's exactly where we need to be. Right? God doesn't want anyone to doubt him. I think that's pretty obvious. And there were those disciples who had been told, "I will rise from the dead," and they, you know, I guess you couldn't say that most of them doubted, but they certainly weren't sure of things, right? Until he showed up to them. And wow, what an amazing revelation, this resurrection reality, right? The one whom we carried cold and dead to a grave is now alive. Wow. Wow. There was a time not that long ago that there were religious people saying, "Oh, having a doubt is a good thing." No, doubt isn't good, and Jesus doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to know and be certain of what we believe, that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. This is what he wrote for us. And what an interesting witness he gave us with our friend Thomas. Can you put yourself in Thomas's shoes? He had just as an emotional weekend as all the other disciples. And now he was one that always asked the tough questions. And he had a little bit of glass half empty attitude as we look at him in the scriptures. And yet, you know, here he was, jaded, tired, disappointed. And then his friends, those who were with him for those 3 years, keep pulling this joke on him. "No, he's really alive." What a horrible joke. How out of good, any good taste that would have been, right? I can't believe it unless I see those nail marks and put my hand in his side. He was angry, sad, torn apart. His friends, well, okay, they still accepted him, but boy, oh boy, what a reception. And then the second time happens. He shows up a second time among the disciples, and this time Thomas is there, and he really proves that he is with us all the time. It seems that the first thing he does is he turns to Thomas and says, "Hey, see this? And put your finger here in my side." Right? Jesus knew exactly what he said and called him out on it. Wow. Our court system works on the basis of witnesses, doesn't it? Not everybody is there to see a crime happen, and so you have to rely on people who saw things, and so do we as Christians. We have many witnesses. We have witnesses who are enemies of Jesus, who recognize that Jesus rose from the dead. It's written in Jewish documents. It's written in Roman documents. The Roman soldiers at the grave saw the stone rolled away, and that where they had put a dead body, it was no longer there. And then we have witnesses like Thomas, who should have known better, and yet admits that in this book, as it were, that he was a dunce, that he hadn't missed it. It had gone right over his head. And he allowed John to publish that about him. That's a witness that's really valuable, one that should have known, and then finally realizes it. You know, God doesn't want us to doubt, and so he wrote this down. And this book that we call the Scriptures, the Bible, is basically God on trial, and it's the transcript of that God on trial. And there are so many witnesses that are placed there for us that it would be accepted in any court of law with that many witnesses, even if it was beyond what some would believe. Here is a witness who was thrilled that he was wrong. We live in an age of certainty by science. And hey, science is not a bad thing. It was Christians who set up the scientific method. It was Christians who wanted to see more about what is out there in the world. It's good to look at science and follow it and see it. Unfortunately, on these things where God interacts in his supernatural ways, our science fails completely. It denies that God is out there right from the get-go. Good science sees God's creation as a wonderful opportunity to discover his grace and his mercy and to see the witnesses that God has left behind for us. How important for us to trust God's word. How important for us to recognize that our God is more than just a court case. To recognize that he wrote these down for you and for me and people like Thomas, who needed some encouragement, who needed the resurrection from the dead. The evidence we have is miraculous, and let's never back away from that. But it is also the resurrection reality that many people saw him alive, hundreds at a time. Groups together can't have a group hallucination. And there he was in front of groups of 12 and 13 and hundreds and individuals. How important for us to see the veracity of these things that are written. We believe in the Scriptures alone because these things are written for us. And why does he write them for us? Well, Jesus kind of shows that when he comes to the disciples. He says, "I'm sending you out." But before he said, "I'm sending you out," he's like, "My peace I give you."
I give you great peace. What is that peace? I always like to illustrate it with what happened to the disciples after the resurrection. That before, you know, when they weren't sure that there was a resurrection, they were hiding in the room, weren't they? They were afraid to die. They had all kinds of fears and troubles and this, that, and the other. But after it, you remember the Acts reading today? God pulled them out of jail, and they were in jail for preaching. And then he says, go preach in the same place you were and be just as bold. In other words, put your life on the line for me. That's what God was saying. And they did it. What a change in their attitudes. Before, they were afraid of everything. And now, by God's grace, they were strong in that faith. Christ came to them and said, peace be with you. My peace I give you. This is peace with God. It's not about peace on earth. Oh, yes, I have that peace while I'm here on earth through my faith, through what God wrote, because of his grace. But God's grace, his undeserved love, taught us that he rose from the dead. And these guys remembered their scripture passages. They understood that sin leads to death. And that passage in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death. You earn death when you sin. But now that Christ has risen, those sins which brought death have been defeated. If death has been defeated, so has sin. And if sin has been defeated, what strength does Satan have? Nothing. This is God's grace, that he gave us this resurrection reality so that we would never forget and never doubt the love of our God and our Father, who takes us to be with him, who has done the work that needed to be done on our behalf. And Jesus delights in repetition. I know we have a lot of teachers here, and those teachers, what is the mother of instruction? Repetition, right? Say it again. Say it in a different way. Say it in a new way. And keep on repeating it. God loves to keep repeating, you are forgiven. I have paid for your sins. I died to pay for you. And now I've risen from the dead to prove to you that those sins are taken care of, that you have life eternal. Because I live, you also will live. He was not some kind of zombie that our world makes him out to be. No, they touched his warm body again. They were absolutely amazed. They saw his flesh, saw his scars, touched his body, watched him eat. Resurrection is reality for all of us. And in his repetition of this wonderful message, he wants to defeat all unreasonableness that won't recognize that God still acts within his creation. And how is he going to do that? How is he going to get that message out to everybody else? He's going to put it in the minds and hearts of people who loved him. Put it in on the lips of those who believe in him, and that's your lips and the lips of these apostles, right? My peace I give with you, and now I'm sending you out with the Spirit to forgive sins. His authority has made forgiveness possible, and he wants that message of all things repeated again and again. Sins are horrible. Christ has defeated them. We have God's grace, and that is the grace that God sends us out with so that many more might believe. Look at that last couple of lines of our text. Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Put yourself, you know, in Thomas's shoes. Again, he has just been taken on a wild trip. He assumed his disciple friends were giving him such a hard time. And now he touches his Lord
And they were right all the time, weren't they? You know, it's hard sometimes to believe the amazing things that God has done. As a pastor, I get to see so often God working in the hearts of his people, and in spite of me, making amazing strides in people's lives. What an amazing thought. Thomas now probably owed a few apologies to his disciple friends because they had all heard it before, but all the disciples would have said, well, we didn't believe it either, you know, till he came and showed up. And what a switch in his brain. God made the effort for that one person called Thomas. This is the kind of effort God wants our faith to do. God came with patience. God came with repetition, with his powerful grace, to dispel Thomas's doubts and bring him back to that strong faith so he could use him in his kingdom to bring faith to others. How amazing that must be. These men who went out, these first ones, who saw it with their own eyes, who touched Jesus with their own hands, who recognized the one who was dead is now alive. These all, except for John, died deaths, horrible deaths, for their faith. Why? Because they knew, you kill me, I'm going to heaven, and that's going to be a good thing. Right? They were no longer afraid. They had that peace down to their core. Why? Because they believed. Because they trusted what God's resurrection reality was. And I want you to think about that. I always tease you about what faith is. And you all believed when you came and sat down on those pews. Did you check to see if the pew was busted? No, you didn't. And what holds you up? Was it your faith in the chair that holds you up? No. It's the chair that holds you up. In the same way, our faith is in Christ Jesus, and it is Christ and his resurrection that holds us up. And that's why they were able to give their lives to preach the faith so that many others would believe. This is the heart of Christianity, to trust what our God has done for us. Trust the grace that he did. Trust the word of God that recorded exactly what we needed to hear and believe. Christ brings us something that builds and exercises our faith, and it's important for us to keep on learning, keep on growing in that word, so that we'll never be shaken by this world around us. Let's rejoice in God's proof. It is written for you in the scriptures. What is written is his grace, which was his love for us, to give us what we needed to be with him for eternity. And we receive that by the faith that is created by his grace. The faith that comes into our heart from God himself. Written, grace, faith. Amen. Please rise. May the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We now confess our faith in Christ Jesus in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our responsive prayer. Excuse me. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe on which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at your right hand in glory. Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion and demolish our doubts. Send your Spirit to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and our desire to live according to your will. Day by your grace. The signs of the times warn us that the end of times is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution. Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel. Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. We pray for two relatives of Betty, who serves in our office at times. I believe it is her niece and I believe her sister. Lord God, you have allowed cancer to enter the lives of these people. Dear Lord, on their behalf, we pray. And for our special friend Betty, we also ask that you would comfort her in the knowledge that your healing hand can go to all people. Dear Lord, bless them as they go through this difficult time. Above all, focus their thoughts on their Lord, in whom they can put their whole lives in his hands. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they love. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our offering is in the alms box for Wednesday nights. Let's continue with We All Believe in One True God. eyes. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated, and we will conclude with four verses of Crown Him with Many Crowns. Hymn 511, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum, Cable Channel 10, and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service on St. John Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page and the YouTube at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children and three-year-olds through eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church at 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television producer today is Don Harmon, and this is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine today, maybe a stray shower, otherwise highs in the mid-60s, a southeast wind. Tonight, shower and storm chance picks up, lows in the upper 40s to near 50. On Monday, watch out for severe weather. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 47 at our studios.
99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Max FM.
Time for the Lutheran Hour
Brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
It couldn't be us versus them anymore, because Jesus is for everyone, even if everyone is not yet for Jesus.
The doors we lock from the inside can't keep the risen Christ outside. Hear how he opens us up to others who also need his grace today on